Maranatha and God bless you. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and we have a very special broadcast today. I guess our webmaster will call this a bonus, and you can decide if it's a bonus or not. But I was asked a question that I want to try to answer personally and biblically today, and I believe it's a question that not just one person needs to know the answer to, but many children of God need to know the answer to it. And if you're not a child of God, if you haven't come to know Christ as your Savior, please stay tuned, because you're going to see yourself in this answer and why maybe you haven't opened your heart and eyes spiritually to see the benefit and value of receiving Jesus as your Savior. There is someone who wants to keep you in the dark, and he's the prince of darkness, the devil. He doesn't want you to hear and give heed to the good news of Jesus, because he knows what's going to happen. You're going to be saved, sealed with the Holy Ghost, and safe from the wrath to come. So please stay tuned today on the subject, how to have a good ground heart. How to have a good ground heart. The promise in Scripture is if the seed of the Word falls into a good ground heart, it, the seed itself, will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. The question I was asked by a sincere believer, how can I have a good ground heart? It thrilled me that someone would ask a question that needs to be answered, and someone wanted to have that kind of heart. Every time we're exposed to the Word of God, you listening right now, when you open your Bible, when you see someone on television or radio, how, whatever media source you have or source you have to hear the Word of God, to see the Word of God, to read the Word of God, the potential is in that seed of the Word, that logos, those words on those pages. Are they the Word in the mouth of whoever is ministering it? Amen. I actually prayed. I said, Lord, let me speak your word as it is. Let me speak it with the authority that you have vested in it, that the words in my mouth may carry the same impact that it did when it left your mouth, because it's not my word, it's just my mouth. Amen. It's his word that has the life in it, and his word is eternal and inerrant. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever. Praise God. So thank you for the question. Maybe you've asked that question. Maybe you want to see changes in your life. I'm going to tell you, get a good ground heart. Going to church is going to make a difference if you got someone that is bringing you the Word of God as it is written in the Bible. Hallelujah. The inerrant, eternal Word is like seed, Jesus said. I'm going to read that to you, and then we're going to see how to get a good ground heart. I'm going to tell you my quick answer, because I was sipping a big gulp. That's a big old drink in my neck of the woods, about 44 ounces on a warm day here in Florida. And I got a phone call, and the question was asked, how do I get a good ground heart? I said, well, there's four types of ground. The seed has the potential in it, but it's the kind of soil that it's sowed into that determines the fruitfulness of it. And I said, the good ground heart, there's four types in the Bible, four types of ground, and three of them is unfruitful. All of this power and potential vested in the Word brings forth zero fruit. But there's one out of the four that brings 30, 60, and 100-fold to the glory of God and the good of the person who now God can use to be an example of his wonderful kingdom of grace and love. Hallelujah. I want a good ground heart. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spin my wheels at church. I don't want to go away like I came in. I want to go away, amen, more fruitful. More fruitful. My exposure to the Word from a ministry, my exposure to the Word from the Bible, from wherever I'm exposed to it. I want to get the benefit of it that God intended. So let's see what Jesus had to say, and let's eliminate the negative and accentuate the positive. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. There's other places in the Bible, but let's just read this particular from Luke chapter 8. And let's begin reading with verse 4. It says, "And when much people were gathered together, there were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable." That's a word picture that he's going to give here. He says, I'm in red letter now. He says, "A sower went out to sow, and sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold." And one translation, what not one translation, one other of the gospel said 30, 60, and 100. It just went straight to the 100 here. Pray 100 times. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" In other words, what does it mean? And he said, "Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." In other words, these hidden truths will not be understood until you come to Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit is able to indwell you. For the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God nor the Word of God, neither indeed can be according to the Scripture. Amen. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. Listen to what he said. Now the parable is this in verse 11. The seed is the Word of God. Everybody say Logos. The Logos, that's the word on the page. And in the connotation and context of this parable, who he was speaking to and what was going on, the Word of God was literally to them who were rejecting it, seeing but not seeing. These were people that were rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just flat out rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what the Bible said about the God of this world, the devil? He has blinded the minds of men, lest they would see the glory of the gospel, come to Christ and be saved. That word blinded is tuphluo in the Greek, and it means to puff up with pride. And it introduces us to this ground where the seed was sown, and it was a highway in one translation. It said some was sown on the highway, literally a footpath that had been trodden down. If you throw the seed out before plowing the earth, that hard ground, the birds will see it, and brother, they're coming, sister, they're coming. And the devil, like those hungry birds, seeing that seed that hasn't been put deep into the ground and cared for is going to steal it away, lest it bring forth fruit. And there's zero fruit. This is that stubborn, pride-filled heart. The stubborn heart. Amen. Listen carefully as we go forward. Amen. Some fall by the wayside, and they that hear cometh the devil quickly, and he taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. This is that reason he puffs up with pride, so that they will not humbly receive the word of God. So it will germinate and bring forth the fruit of faith in Christ. It's this particular Logos that he's talking about. But all of the word to all of us, is the words on the page, the word that God has sent, sanctified it, and preserved it for us today. Listen carefully. And verse 13 says, "And they which are on the rock or on the stony ground are they which when they hear receive the word with joy." It looks like revival. Amen. They're happy to hear it. and have no root. No root. Can you imagine that? You're rejoicing, but there's no root down in the soil. And which for a while they believe, and in the time of temptation, literally testing, when persecution arises for the word's sake, and dear friend of mine, it's most certainly going to. They fall away because they had no root in themselves. This is the shallow heart. First, the stubborn heart born out of pride that will not humbly revere and receive the word of God. Then is the shallow heart, no depth of earth, no real devotion to the Lord, no real commitment to follow Christ and obey the word. And then there's this distracted heart. Amen. And then in verse 14, that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection or completion. That's the people who are distracted. And there's so many Christians so busy with the business of the world that the short time they have and take to be exposed to the Word of God, it just doesn't get deep enough in the ground, like the stony heart. The heart's really not prepared to receive it. The Bible says if we're going to see God's revival come, in Hosea it says, break up your fallow ground. What is your fallow ground? Fallow ground is unplowed earth. You don't plant until you plow, because there's an enemy that wants to steal it away. You know him by name? The devil, Satan. The thief, he came to steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, friend of mine, he's a liar and the father of it. He murders, he kills, because he deceives. And one of the way he deceives is by distracting us from that is so important in our life. With the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, what's that all about? It means when we're going after the riches of the world, oh, I can't come to church, I can't come to Bible study, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, I'm worn out. If I just get more money, get everything paid up, then maybe I'll have time, honey. That's not going to work. The word will not work in anyone that's too busy for it. It just isn't going to happen. The potential is there. It's got in the ground. But the weeds now are choking it out. So we're exposed to it, but it doesn't bring forth any fruit at all. Dear friend of mine, but there's a good ground heart. There's a stubborn heart, a shallow heart, a distracted heart. Yet what? Let me mention this. Jesus says unto us as believers today, beware lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day come upon you as a thief, the day of the Lord, the coming of Christ for his bride. So much in the word prepares us for that day. But if we're too busy to stop and Selah, in the book of Psalms, certain statements are made and in capital letters. It says S-E-L-A-H, Selah. And it means to sit down, be still, and quietly contemplate what was said. It's so it can get in the good ground of your heart, deep into your heart, so that the seed that can germinate and bring forth fruit. The tragedy of the busy, distracted heart, too busy, is because it is almost growing, it's sprouting, but the weeds of distraction, busyness, choke it out. And that busyness is because of how we prioritize our life and what we put as most important in our life. Oh, friend of mine, it sounds like a priority to me when Jesus says man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, I don't want to be distracted. I want to arrange my life where the word can be received in a good ground heart, willing to hear and to heed what He's speaking to me through His Word and to put it into practice in my life. Amen. If I don't obey it, if I don't put it into practice in my life, it does me no good. And I will not, unless I'm devoted enough, humble enough, and committed enough and focused enough to let the Word of God be true in me and everybody else become the liar. Amen. Listen, friend of mine, this is the answer. The opposite of the other three is what constitutes a good ground heart. So number one, I would say, get rid of stubborn pride. Yeah, that's right. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season. Don't be stubborn. The psalmist said, don't be like the ox or the mule. That's pretty stubborn, right? That has to be turned about with the bit and bridle, lest he turn and rend you, lest he turn on you, lest he hurt you. Don't want to obey, will not obey. That's why the world is rejecting the gospel that God sent to tell them the good news, that they can repent of their sins, be saved, be sealed by the Holy Spirit, be safe from the wrath to come and the judgment to come. For the God of this world has blinded. Listen carefully. He'll try to do it to you as a believer if you let him. If you let your flesh rule you, he will. You'll become stubborn. Just stubborn as a mule. Dear friend of mine, I had a family member tell me not too long ago, I'm awfully stubborn. I wanted to holler, amen. But you understand, the family member would take it as me calling them stubborn. But they were stubborn. They admitted they were stubborn. And you know, the deal is, what are we going to do about that? When we see this, that is grieving the Holy Spirit. We see this, and we know this about ourselves, and we're not willing to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus and to His character. The fruit of the Spirit, amen, is His character reproduced in the life of a child of God. It's the product of the Spirit. It's His grand handiwork in us to make us more like Jesus Christ. Amen. Instead of stubborn, we find Jesus humbling Himself even unto the death of the cross. Oh, friend of mine, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season. He'll make you fruitful to further His kingdom and to put you in a place where others will respect your walk with God enough to listen to your testimony. Get rid of stubborn pride. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I need grace and mercy in my life. Get rid of stubborn pride and humbly receive the Logos, the Word of God, and receive it with gladness. Praise God. Amen. That's how you get rid of the ground that the devil can come and steal it out of it, because it gets planted in it. Praise God. Get rid of double-mindedness. Amen. Get rid of double-mindedness, the stony ground, no depth of earth, no moisture. Seed is planted in soil, but there's stone underneath it. Amen. Get rid of double-mindedness. Commit to hear and give heed to God's Word. Get devoted. They received it with joy. The emotion they emoted was joy. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Amen. And yet when they walk away, you know, the Bible said, when any man hears the word and doeth it not, he's like a man that beheld his natural face in a glass. He saw the need. He saw the need to let the Holy Spirit change. He has to will for the change. The Holy Spirit has to give us the power to change. And that's why He came, is to give us power, not just to do through the gifts of the Spirit, but to be a witness unto Jesus, not just for Jesus, but unto Jesus. Praise God. Become more like Jesus in our character. Praise God. Get rid of double-mindedness. be more than emotionally moved by the word. Devote yourself to hear and to give heed to the word of God, to hear it and obey it. That's what it means when Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, a heart to hear and obey. He that hath an ear, a spiritual capability to hear and obey the word of God. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, to you and to me, through the word of God and by the Spirit of God." Hallelujah. Get the stones out. It might be unforgiveness. It might be carrying a grudge that grieves the Holy Spirit. Only you can begin to dig out those stones that are in the way of the word getting planted so deep in your heart. And when it starts to come up, that you weed it and water it. Praise God, so that it will grow strong and the devil can't steal it away. And God promises the Holy Spirit's going to produce, amen, a change in us for the glory of God, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Amen. Get the stones out. Dig deep with true devotion, not temporary emotion. True devotion, not temporary emotion. We had a guy preach for us one time, and boy, he preached good. He really preached good. There wasn't hardly any word in it, but it brought a lot of emotion. I wasn't jealous of seeing people respond. I've seen people get excited for a season, but if it doesn't last but a season, it's emotionalism. It's mere emotion. With joy they received it. It looked like revival, but it wasn't. There was no commitment to hear, give heed, thereby obey the word of God. Oh, friend of mine, I don't want to spin my wheels. I don't want to be unfruitful for Christ. I want to be a hundredfold Christian. Then I've got to have the kind of soil in my heart that the seed can be planted in. I've got to revere the word. I've got to give reverence to it. I've got to receive it as part of the lordship of Jesus in my life. "Why callest thou me Lord," he said, "and do not what I say?" Why bother calling me your master when you're too stubborn and pride-filled to humble yourself enough and revere me enough to let my word work in you? That convicts me, and I want it to, because I can become stubborn. You can become stubborn. You may be stubborn. If you haven't come to Christ and you've already heard the gospel, you are stubborn. You're stubbornly rejecting the love that held him to the cross so that you wouldn't have to be lost and go to hell. You're trotting underfoot. The devil is stealing away such precious seed of the gospel, the logos in the sense of the gospel itself, the word of truth that declares unto you, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Gave means to offer him up to be crucified, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He shed his blood for you and for me. I remember when my heart broke at the thought of him dying for me, and I gladly received him as my Lord and Savior. That was so many decades ago, and the devil's never been able to steal that seed out of my heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Dear friend of mine, get rid of stubborn pride. Get rid of double-mindedness, shallow heart. Get rid of that and devote yourself, amen, to hear and to heed the word of God. Humble yourself. Hallelujah. Best way to get rid of stubbornness is to humble yourself. And God will go to work. The Holy Spirit loves that. Because you know what you become? You become a soft piece of clay in the potter's hand. And he's able to mold you into what he wants you to be. Well, what's he want me to be, Pastor? He wants you to be more progressively like his son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, the product of the Spirit, when he's able to work that in us, amen, is the reproduction of the character of Christ in the heart and then into the life of the child of God. We do not become divine, but we represent him who is to a gainsaying world. We don't do it perfectly, but we progressively become more like him and less like that old person that we were before we came to know Jesus as our Savior. Well, we've got a lot more to cover. We can't answer this in one session here. But I pray that we will understand the parable of the sower. The sower is Jesus Christ. And right now, I'm part of that sowing process as I read the scriptures to you out of the Bible. That seed, that is seed. And the life is in the seed. And if it finds good ground, the old covenant gives us a glimpse of how it works. God said the word that goes forth out of my mouth is like the rain that comes down and watereth the earth and causes it to bring forth and to bud. There comes the plants as a result of that seed germinating. Praise God. Amen. It will accomplish that I desire, and it will prosper 30, 60, 100 fold. Do I hear it? It will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And today, dear friend, God is sending his word to you. Sending his word to you through this old clay vessel right here. And from this old book, if you read it, called the Bible. Hallelujah. Listen, the devil doesn't want that good news of God's grace and love and offer of salvation to find a heart that will receive it so that God can save your soul. But he loves you today. He gave his son for you. And Jesus gave his self for you. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's calling you today. Come, come, come unto me. Drink of the river of life freely. Come and be saved. Come and be forgiven. Repent of your sin. Humble yourself. Get rid of your pride. And come humbly and thank him. Thank him by coming to him. The greatest gift you can give Jesus for dying for you is to accept the benefit and blessing of his shed blood and broken body. Come to him. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. So come today and be saved. Repenting of your sin, receiving Christ as your Savior. Don't let the devil take you to hell with him and with them who continually reject the gospel out of stubborn pride, blinded by the God of this world. Listen, if you're a Christian today and you've been going to church for months, years, reading the Bible for months, years, and you're just the same old you stuck in that rut, that religious routine, it's time to check out your heart. Keep your heart, Proverbs said, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Hallelujah. Let's make sure we don't have a pride-filled, stubborn streak in our heart. Let's make sure that we are devoted enough that when we hear the word, we're not going to let it just go over us, never really make a difference in our life, but we're going to obey it. You won't do it perfectly. You don't have to perfectly initially. Just do it. Do it. If God sees the heart willing to do that, he will help you with your weak flesh. Amen. And it is weak, and so is mine. And the only answer is to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. Amen. Die to self so that we might live unto God and find the joy of that fulfillment that He will give us. Hallelujah. We love you today. God bless you today. And we pray we will have other bonus programs where we try to answer some spiritual questions, biblical questions, especially about the need to grow and mature in Jesus and be that bride that is spotless, worthy of this wonderful King that is coming for us in Jesus' name today. God bless you and your household.